Thank you, Madam Chair. Call on Susan Howard to
talk about the accountant's report of agreed upon procedures and NCAA compliance for the year ending June 30, 2025.
Thanks, Rachel Friday. So this is a report a lot like our external audit. I'll turn it over to Jennifer Williams with Forbes, our partner with Forbes, who performed the report. It's the NCAA agreed upon procedures. We also have Rob Peterson with us today. He is the deputy athletic director and also responsible for finance, so the CFO within athletics. So Rob, it's probably appropriate if you come up here and sit, and I'll step back. It's the auditor's report, and you're the point person on it, so I will put you on the high seat.
All right.
Thanks, Susan. Well, sorry I'm not able to be there with you all today. I usually like to be in person, but I appreciate the opportunity to be on Zoom today with you all. So we did wrap up with Rob the NCAA AEP procedures. That is required to be submitted to the NCAA in the present by January 15th. And so we were able to complete those procedures and provide that report as required. The statement of revenue and expenses is prepared by management. That shows an even revenue and expense through that process. And in that statement of revenue and expenses showed about $40 million on the activity with NCAA. We found no significant reportable matters that we needed to provide in the report. And that we had great cooperation by Ralph and his team to go through that process. There are some new procedures that will be coming, as you can imagine, with the NIL, those types of things. We're not sure exactly what will be in the procedures next year, but we'll work closely with Rob as we figure those out. There were some new procedures this year, but with the activity being minimal, there wasn't new. Those procedures we did not have to perform. So just wanted to get the board a heads up that obviously with that, we have to follow those procedures by NCAA. Any questions from the group on that report?
Are there any further questions? I guess really I do have one. I'm sorry, Rob. As far as institutional support, university reimbursements, and so on and so forth to athletics, this year versus last year, what kind of trend are we looking at?
We were down approximately $2.4 million that year from support. Some of that was related to the fact that we had gone over budget the year before, and we got better control of our budget.
It's a good trend. Hopefully we'll continue.
That's our intent.
Any further questions?
If not, I'd entertain a motion to accept the accountant's report on applying agreed upon procedures for NCAA compliance for the year ending June 30, 2025.
So, motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
See you.
Bye. Have a good day.
Next, we will have the to accept for filing the statement of revenues and expenditures for the 6 months ended December 31st, 2025 and 24.
Thank you, Regent Brody. And what I first wanted to point out is the university and the entire campus continues to do well in performing budget versus actual. As you see, what I've circled there is at the end of December, we're performing approximately $3.6 million better as we did at this time last year. So the work continues and we're continuing to do that good work. most of this improvement is directly related to an improvement in our net tuition revenue model. So that's important to note. I did want to say to the board that while we only report to you quarterly, we continue to do our monthly monitoring with the deans and vice presidents. So I think that's important work, and we do continue to do that. So going down a little bit further into looking at revenue. So again, remember revenue, and particularly tuition, if you look at net tuition revenue, is about $9.5 million better than the prior year. So, if you look at as a percent of budget, we're at both at about 70% of budget at last year and this year. So looking at the net tuition revenue, again, that's that $9.5 million improvement, and that's directly related to a improvement in our strategic improvements to our scholarship model. So John Mark, Bryson, Provost Fisher, President Caboni, everybody's doing a lot of good work around that. Looking at the other categories of revenue, this continues from the first quarter into the second quarter. We are seeing grants and contracts trending lower than the prior year. Most of that is a direct result of a decline in our Pell-eligible student enrollment because of some changes at the federal level. Also, we are seeing a 10% decline in extramurally funded research grants, again, primarily because of some things going on at the federal level. Other revenue is higher, directly related to fundraising associated with Chandler Hall and Ford Fieldhouse. And then what was there in the first quarter continues in the second quarter, a one-time contribution from the WKU Research Foundation going away and some one-time cash being moved to the university of about $800,000. Total expenses, about 53% of budget as compared to about 54% of budget last year, so relatively flat. Looking at personnel, we're seeing a decline of about $600,000 in wages. That's directly associated with the decline in employee FTE, which is attributable, if you remember, this time last year we had VSIP, the Voluntary Separation Program, and so we did see retirements about 60, and so that's impacting this number. The increase in fringe benefits is attributable to higher health insurance premiums. Operating expenses, supplies and expenses is trending higher in this quarter, but I want to point out that's directly related to timing. So some years the library subscriptions may come in December, other years they come in January. So that's just a direct result of timing in library subscriptions and the football game guarantee payments. Debt service is up, and that's related to the bonds, the additional bonds we sold associated with Chandler Hall and Ford Fieldhouse. And maintenance is higher primarily because of reimbursements from the Student Life Foundation. So that's all I have on the second quarter, but overall, great news for campus. Continue to, and I'm giving a peek preview of what happened in January. We continue to improve, and so I think we're good news on all counts.
If I may, Regent Bryant, I'm thankful for this report, and I want to remind folks again, in a world that will not stop obsessing over headcount, that is not our goal. Our goal is to increase net tuition revenue, which we've done again. Good for us.
Exactly. And in Q3 versus last year, we should have another positive with the VSIP going.
Yes.
That's good. Any other questions?
Of $9 million, what do you think the chances of the legislature approving the $30 million request for lost free tuition money?
The start of a long session that will weave its way through ebbs and flows and I'd hate to predict the likelihood of anything today, but I will tell you, and not to take Jennifer's thunder away from her, I spent yesterday in Frankfurt, and I'm actually optimistic about where we may wind up.
Our portion of that was about $4 million.
It was, yeah. So we, for those of you who did not hear the NPR story, the university essentially subsidizes free tuition for different subgroups of students, the largest of which are veterans.
Yes.
And we are asking the state to create, number one, a trust fund that would allow us to dip into that to be reimbursed for what is essentially is an unfunded mandate from the legislature. It's a novel idea. It will obviously would help us to not have to subsidize those students, but again, lots of time between here and there. We'll see where we wind up. But for me, it was an optimistic visit. But I get paid to be optimistic in the face of non-optimism.
Any further questions?
I just think recognizing where how this report looks. I've done 5 years on the board. Going back to some of those earlier meetings when I was on here, and that they were not as much fun.
Yeah.
And also what it took to get to this point, and change is dramatically hard, especially when people tend to focus on old measures. So I looked at this and just was like, this is so positive and upbeat, and it goes through very quickly as opposed to the old ones where we used to sit here and harass about it quite a bit. So it shouldn't pass as unnoticed as it may seem to.
Everyone needs to be commended for your efforts.
It's an entire campus.
It is.
Yeah.
Any further questions or comments? If not, I'd entertain a motion to accept the filing the statement of revenue expenditures for the 6 months ended December 31st, 25 and 24.
So I make a motion.
Motion by CJ, second by Christian Spiller. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next, we have item 3, seek approval for the initiation of various capital projects to preserve, renovate, modernize, and maintain the following facilities.
So I will certainly present these. I did want to say that Brian Russell is with us today, our chief facilities officer. So if anyone has any questions on the nuts and bolts, pardon the pun, these projects, Brian will be here to, I'm sure, save me from embarrassing myself. So just a reminder to the board, the asset preservation pool projects, regardless of the source of funds, all projects are required to get board approval. As a reminder, for construction exceeding $1 million or more, and for equipment of $200,000 or more. And any of these projects can be funded from those resources that are left in both of the AP pools that were enacted by our legislative process. So the first one is the renovation of Gordon Wilson Hall. That is just an increase in scope from $2 million up to $2.4 million, and primarily because when we received the bids, they came in a bit higher than what we originally anticipated, so we needed to bring the increase to the board. It's a historic building, and so as we can imagine, the building was not fully ADA compliant. So most of this work is around bringing a elevator into the building and modernizing of some of the restroom facilities. And Brian, I don't know if there's anything else that you have to add on that.
No, that's a very good description of the project. It's really important, and we were so close to the $2 million mark with the bids that came in. We have awarded this contract. The elevator is being reviewed for submittals, and with so many of the technologies that are out there, the time frame for to get an elevator is like 6 to 12 months out. So we really have to kind of move things along. It just takes a long time to part the pieces for a lot of our projects. Still a delay in goods and services.
The second project is, and this is a really exciting one for the campus, the steam, sorry, Brian, the steam distribution system. upgrades and replacements during the year. The scope of that work is planned to be about $1.5 million. These are all those type of projects that I know Brian and his team work really hard on, and it's all underground and nobody sees until they see something happen, and that's when it does impact campus. So we're hopeful that this will prevent from those types of things happening. So Brian, anything else on?
Just to tell the board, very appreciative to the Commonwealth for the AP funds. We have spent about $4 million on replacing aging infrastructure, STEAM specific, to date. We've actually spent those funds starting in 22 through 25. This is a placeholder that I need your approval for so that we still have a couple of sections that come down Avenue of Champion that was put in 1967. If you were not on campus during Christmas, we had an emergency steam line, 1967, that failed going across Avenue of Champions, and so we had to have that correction. Not in this project, but I'm anticipating that we may need the capacity for approval. So since this is required before I can submit to the state, it's just a necessary procedural request. Not sure. This is up to amount.
I'd like to also thank the facility staff and Brian for the work that they've done that many times does go unnoticed. I recall fondly there was a Twitter account when I showed up on campus 8.5 years ago called Steaming Manhole Cover, and it was very entertaining, except for the fact that the only reason it exists because there was a hole in the steam line that was constantly spewing steam. We've addressed that challenge. Thanks again to the Commonwealth, but to the work of the staff. And Brian, thank you for your leadership in getting us there. It's not sexy, but it's crucial to our success.
Any other questions or comments? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve the asset preservation capital project as listed. Motion by Richard Dennison.
Second.
Miller, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now we have a couple of information items.
Region body, I'm sorry.
Sure. Absolutely.
That. We've been going a little up and down.
Perfect.
And we'll take that up when we come back.
They enjoy it.
Okay, we're going to resume with the finance committee and the information.
First information item is the second quarter financial statement. Susan?
Just a reminder, these are unaudited from our auditors. These are produced internally, and so they're just interim financial statements. But I did want to say before we get into them, these are just highlights. A lot of data in the statements, but you'll see from these highlights, again, from what you saw in the budget versus actual, when you've improved your budget substantially, you're going to start seeing improvements in your financial statements. So first is our total net position, an increase of $63 million from prior year, which is a very nice increase. Unrestricted net position, which is also, that's even a harder marker to move. That's an increase of $23 million from prior year. Cash and cash equivalents is down $29 million, but that is directly related to spending of the restricted cash on Chandler Hall and the Ford Fieldhouse. Income statement highlights. First off, your operating revenue, an increase of $10.3 million, again, directly related to primarily our increase in net tuition revenue. Fundraising associated with the additional debt for Chandler Hall and the Ford Fieldhouse, and again, that one-time contribution from the dissolution of the WKU Research Foundation. Operating expenses, a decline of $5.6 million, and again, those are primarily related to a timing of accounting entries. Non-operating revenue, a decline of $23.2 million. Again, that's a decline in state capital appropriations. So overall, really good results on both our budget versus actual and our information item, the financial statements, the interim. Any questions?
Just want to thank you, and thank you for your efforts preparing these statements. We started that a couple of years ago, and it's very helpful for the for-profit accountant out there.
Okay.
Next, I will call on Bruce Wiseman for our quarterly internal audit report.
Thank you, Chair Brody. As the slides are getting pulled up here, this is just our typical quarterly internal audit update, what we've been working on, give you a status update on all of our projects and what we've been doing and what we plan to do. We'll start off with a recap of the audit plan. We've got three projects complete so far this year. Three are in progress. The in-progress projects are in a wide range of statuses. Some we've just started, some we're near the end of. One other thing I'll draw your attention to is under the completed projects, the Global Learning and Study Abroad has an asterisk next to it. That doesn't mean anything bad, but we've called it complete because we've issued management a draft report, and we're working with them to put their action plans together. So we'll plan to finalize that here in the next coming weeks, but we've done the majority of our work. So a really good spot here where we've got half the plan done in February. Additionally, the PSO work group, as I've been calling it, no status changes since we last met, but we've continued to work on a lot of the in-progress projects, in particularly the research subject payments and how that works. I'm happy to say that I'm working closely with the purchasing team to explore one of our vendor systems and what their capabilities are. And there's some exciting possibilities there that we can change our process, take advantage of those capabilities, and hopefully eliminate some administrative burden in those processes. The whole point of this group. From an overall university perspective, probably a small win, but it will be a win for that process and hopefully catapult us into bigger things down the road. Back to where do we spend our time? If you look on the left, that's where we've actually spent our time. On the right is where we planned to spend our time. All of the categories are fairly close. They're within 3% of each other. I will call out our operational piece of the pie, where, you know, that's internal meetings, updating our policies and procedures, those kinds of things, is only taking up 15% versus 18%. So that's a good win, which has allowed us to increase the time we spend on our project and follow-up activity, which is up 2% from where we planned. Speaking of follow-up, we currently have 7 outstanding items, and just as a recap for the group, follow-up items are when we issue an audit report, they have audit findings, and management is going to go and correct those items. They land here. Those are those follow-up items, and we continue to follow up with management until they're implemented and the associated risks are mitigated. You'll see we've got one item that we validated as implemented so far this year. And most importantly on this chart is the right half, where we have an aging of the outstanding items. Everything that's outstanding is less than 6 months old. That raises no concerns for me. Management's on track with implementing those within a year, which is what we use as a standard benchmark in our area. So good news to report here. Looking at the hotline, so far this year, we've worked on 6 cases. We've closed 5. There's 1 in progress. Since we last met, 2 new cases have come in. I'm happy to say that there's no real significant risk related to those hotline reports that I think I need to report to. So good news there. As always, I remind you all, if you see something, please say something. But there is something new on this slide today. If you notice, under the ethics hotline, there is a new URL, a new place to go to report hotline information. We're in the process of updating our hotline provider. There was nothing wrong with our previous provider, but we saw an opportunity to reduce our cost, lock in a price for a 5-year period, and cap future price increases while still maintaining the functionality that we're getting from a new provider. So you can go to this link in the meantime. It will get you to where you need to be. We're in the process of onboarding that new vendor as we speak, and we hope to have it up and running here in the next couple of weeks. So the key features of the hotline are that people can anonymously report things, and we can communicate with them in this new hotline provider rollout. An update on our external review that was completed last summer. We've got a lot of changes and updates here. If you look in the completed box, the top two items are bolded. Those were completed since our last meeting in November. In progress, we've started two more. The bottom two are bold. Those were the new ones there. And we've got one item remaining. We continue to work on implementing those actions within our office, and we'll have those complete by the end of the fiscal year. Other miscellaneous updates. Consultations, we're at 21 for the year so far. If you remember, our goal is to have 50. So we're running a little bit behind schedule. So if the university community is watching at home, if you have any questions, need some help, please reach out, let us know. We're happy to check. We continue to promote an internal audit across campus. Caitlin and I both did a presentation at Professional Development Day. They were both very well attended. I would guess somewhere between 70 to 80 attendees per session. And then we also presented at Staff Leadership Institute, where we get in front of the next leaders at WKU, and we tell them what internal audit is and what we do and how we do it. It really helps build that relationship with the newest leaders coming at WKU right now. Other contributions to the profession, we're going to be meeting with an accounting class here in the next couple weeks. Again, just telling them what internal audit is, introducing them to the profession. Something that never happened for me personally. Didn't even know what internal audit was until I got the job there. So hoping to inspire the next generation of internal auditors. So watch out. The second bullet point is I wanted a team to help do an external review at the University System of Georgia. So just like we had our external review last summer, I'm helping to review their operations as well. That does two things for us. Number one is it really allows us to go in and see other best practices of how they do things. And additionally, I'm working on a team with four other chief auditors from other schools, and I get to hear about their processes as well. So it's transferring knowledge back to us, making our operations better. The second part is, by me volunteering to do this, when it comes time for us to do our next external review, we'll have volunteers that are able to come and do that for us. We continue to participate in committees, and we've got a short list there. And then finally, looking ahead, it's the springtime, so we're going to do our annual risk assessment, update the risk, see if there's any changes. If some risks have gone down at the university, what might be rising? That'll help us develop our audit plan for next year that we'll report to you all at our next meeting. I mentioned earlier, we've got a hotline provider change that we're in the middle of. That'll be up live and running so that when we do our fourth annual March Madness Bracket Challenge here in just 3 or 4 weeks, we'll be driving people to that new hotline provider, that new website, to help give us that boost out of the gate to let everybody know that's where it's at. And then finally, we're going to complete our action plans for our external review by the end of the year. So that's where we're at, where we're going. Any questions from the group?
Going back a slide or two, I guess, talking about this hotline provider, as you said that, and this is again for the community that may be watching at home or maybe in their office, you said that you communicate with people to make these reports. But could you just talk about how you maintain your anonymity?
How that works, yes. And it's a great question. And the key is that you're working through the third-party administrator. You're working through that supplier. So when you file a hotline report, when you're done, they will give you a key. It'll be a list of numbers so that you can go back into their portal and check and see if we have left them a message. And they can continue to add more messages, attachments, more messages to us related to their hotline case. It doesn't require a name. It doesn't require an email address. It's completely anonymous if they want to be anonymous.
And on these committee participation,
Yes.
Since you are, I think you're, are you advisory on the RAND Budget Model Steering Committee, or are you a participant?
More advisory. I don't have a vote on what we do. So sitting currently on the subcommittee led by Dean Terrence Brown, and currently we're focusing in on service level agreements, so internal documents of service providers at the university and how they provide those services to the university, how we can measure their performance, and those sorts of things, best practices around that.
Any other questions? Not? Thank you, sir.
Thank you all.
Appreciate it. Madam Chair, that concludes finance, budget, and audit.
Hey, thank you.